That's just hey, a recording, done? Man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know it, but I'm certainly in the last hour of the show. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking with you. I want you to speak about what it's like to be a 21-year-old black man from Chicago because of so much that's going on with young black people across this country and what they're up against. I think there's no better person to have that conversation with than you. So in the last hour of the show, we're going to spend some time, and I want to hear your views on what you think of the future. What do you think thus far? How you've been treated? You're going to be successful. There's no question you're a brilliant young man. But
thank you.
You know, there's so many young people dying in these cities, man. And it is tragic. It is, you know, the country spends a lot of time, and rightfully so, talking about the people who die from opioids and from the epidemic of the opioids. But, man, just the bloodshed in our cities every day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to matter, right? We can talk about all the bloodshed everywhere else. But, man, the bloodshed in central cities across this nation is, without question, just a war. And we can't seem to do anything about it. So I want to have a real heart-to-heart conversation with you. But I want to begin the show by welcoming back my good friend, Joe McNally, who is an award-winning journalist. You're still writing for the Shepherd Express, wrote for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, radio personality, my former colleague, television personality. Joe, is there anything you haven't been in the way of media?
Well, I don't know. I've always thought that I tried to just kind of get involved in any way I could to make things a little better around here. So it wasn't always my choice that I kept moving on to different venues, either, to tell you the truth. But I really, you know, I had a long career at the Milwaukee Journal, and that was I really just kind of developed as a journalist at the Milwaukee Journal at a time when it was a great, great newspaper. People don't even realize these days that at one time it was regularly on the list of the 10 top newspapers in the country. Every once in a while, Time Magazine would try to update that, and they just kept getting appalled by the fact that they said, you know, there wasn't anything happening in Milwaukee. How come this newspaper was so good? I wrote a satirical column about that when they did, saying, you know, you guys really got to get out there and start doing more things that attract national attention. You know, some mass murders and that sort of thing. I submitted that column for a Pulitzer.
you know, Joe. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I have had great opportunities in my life, and one of them was working on the radio with you, Earl, a great partner of mine that you know well, Cassandra Roberson, it was such an experience, because I maintain that was one of the few, maybe the only, talk radio shows in the country which was co-hosted by an African-American woman and a white liberal guy. talking about racism and racial issues from both points of view of the white community and the black community, and the devastation that it did to both of those communities. And to me, that was just a terrific experience.
You know, Joe, I listen to you guys every day. It's part of the reason. I used to call. And it's part of the reason, I think, why I'm even in radio today is listening to, having listened to you and Cassandra and others at that great radio station, former Hall of Fame football star and businessman Willie Davis.
A great man.
And you know, and it was such a great time, Joe. I read the Journal every day. I read the Sentinel every day. It wasn't just you as a great writer. You had great colleagues during that time. And you know, newspapers, Joe, have taken a horrible beating.
Well, they sure have. They're disappearing. They're disappearing from the face of the earth. Great local newspapers.
That can't be a good thing. That can't be a good thing.
It is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing for the media. It's a terrible thing for journalism. As you well know, you've worked in talk radio for a long time now. Radio and television both basically got their news of their communities from the newspaper, and you know, they had skeleton staff doing news on radio and television, the media is changing, and one of the big things that has changed it extensively has been the disappearance of those major news organizations in every city across America that were putting out those daily newspapers, because that is where all the rest of the media got their information, and they depended on the fact that huge budgets were going into top flight news organizations in every community, and that kept the politicians
on their toes.
It didn't keep them honest. but it kept them careful.
Yes.
And when they got called out, everyone, you know, the stories that broke in the newspaper would then, you know, not everybody read newspapers every day like you did, Earl. And as a matter of fact, the way that it got out to everybody else was that it did feed the talk on the radio shows, and it did feed the news on all the television stations that were going into everybody's home every day. And people depended on that to know what was going on in their community.
So Joe, let me, for people who don't know, not only did I pay attention to your writings, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but also your appearances on Interchange. You know, shows like that, Joe, Republicans and Democrats together sitting down, having back and forth dialogue, which is what I kind of do on my show. I've always got Republicans and Democrats. And what sense does it make to have, you know, programs where there's no give and take? There's no conversation, you know, where, well, just it's this is the way we want you to understand, be it Democrat or Republican. We don't want you to be able to have put any thought into what is going on. And I think, Joe, a couple things. When you look at, and I remember when Gannett started buying up the newspapers in this country.
Including the Milwaukee Journal,
USA Today, and many others. And you could sense and started cutting back and getting rid of people who made the papers what they were, all, you know, to save a buck.
But, you know, the other thing that happened, too, was that that idea of radio talk shows that would have two points of view on it, the opposite as well as, a single point of view. It was talk radio and AM radio, sad to say, that really created that. With it started out with Rush Limbaugh, once in this country, it was in fact brought to, in order to have a license to run a radio station or
the
a
fairness
station
doctrine.
in this country, there was the yes. fairness doctrine. If you presented one point of view, you were required to allow opposing views to go on the air. There is no more fairness doctrine. The Federal Communication Commission killed that.
Ronald Reagan.
And that was what created the possibility. It used to be illegal. Fox News would have been illegal under the fairness doctrine, where people now can tune in to Fox News television, and we know millions do. And that's where they get all of their news information. And that doesn't even try to pretend to be a news operation. It's a government propaganda operation for the right-wing politicians in this nation. And they don't deal in facts and news. They deal in government right-wing propaganda. They deal in promoting Donald Trump as having won the election. They deal in the propaganda created by Vladimir Putin. And do you know that Fox News shows, commentary by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, are broadcast in Russia with Russian subtitles because it is Russian propaganda. It is Vladimir Putin propaganda created partially for Donald Trump's benefit, but also for Vladimir Putin's benefit.
You know, Joel, it also, you know, one thing for sure is the guy, Rupert Murdoch, was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You know, he made sure there was eye candy that appeared.
Yeah.
You know, all day, every day. And so
you got it.
And so guys, watch for the eye candy.
He ran sleazy tabloid newspapers too.
Yes.
Now you know he's the owner of the Wall Street Journal.
Yes. Joe, hang on. We've got to go to a break. It's a hard break. Be right back. 844-967-2789. Joel McNally, we'll be right back.
Tony, and DJ Quick.
You didn't think we could flip it on your ass, huh?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is none other than the award-winning Joe McNally. And you know, Joe, so much to talk about, man. Let's get busy. This nation in all the things that are happening, Joe, let's begin by how is it possible that governors from this nation, which you and I know would have never happened before, like Ron DeSantis and from Florida and the guy from Texas, I forget his name, are willing to take people, human beings, and ship them all over the nation and somehow think that is acceptable and an all right practice, and then get support from other people in this country who seem to think that that's all right. How did we get to this point, Joel?
Yeah. Let me tell you one little piece of history that you may have forgotten. When you suggested what Ron DeSantis did, and Greg Abbott's doing the same thing.
Greg Abbott, yes.
Of shipping migrants to the big splash that the Florida governor made, of course, was recently sending a whole plane load of migrants from Texas. Now, this is weird. Here's the governor of Florida shipping migrants from Texas to
Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard in Boston. Do you know what that exactly replicates? You may
slaves.
I know you once knew this. The White Citizens Council during the Civil Rights Movement, and we're talking about when President Kennedy was governor. When President Kennedy was president, the White Citizenship Council shipped a busload of black people, black families, north to Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Yeah, well, when President Kennedy was the president, everyone knew what Hyannisport was. That was where the Kennedy family compound, they used to call it, was. which was very much like what would shipping people Donald to Martha's Trump. Vineyard. Shipping people to Martha's Vineyard, because we know that former President Obama vacations now at Martha's Vineyard, and a whole lot of hot, prominent now African Americans now have places at Martha's Vineyard, as well as very wealthy white Americans. So that was an exact replica of what these racist white citizenship councils did during the Civil Rights Movement and they sent them claiming that President Kennedy was going to greet them at Hyannisport and give them jobs, exactly the Florida Ron governor DeSantis said,
right.
About this plane load. And in fact, history did replicate itself again, because in fact, when they showed up at a Hyannisport, and of course the president wasn't there, he was in the White House, and of course there were no jobs waiting for them there, but these people had been lied to, just like today's immigrants are lied to, and said, Martha's Vineyard is going to welcome you with open arms, and they're going to provide jobs and support your families, and it was just a lie. They basically kidnapped these people, put them on planes after lying to them, and shipped them to Massachusetts and dumped them off the plane and said, go find your jobs. What they thought would happen with all of these smug, wealthy white people and very prominent black people at Martha's Vineyard would be terrified at these ideas that immigrants were showing up, just like the White Citizenship Council said, those northern liberals are going to hate it when you show up, but we're going to lie to you and say that'll be a good place for you. Well, you know what, of course, happened in Martha's Vineyard this time, the same thing that happened to those poor people who were sent on lies to the north. Churches opened up. They provided housing for these people. They actually gave them some support. But it was, these people were just used as pawns by these ugly racist people, saying, "Boy, we're going to show those liberals in the north just what we're putting up with, because you're going to hate it when these black people show up or these brown people show up." It is the most vicious, ugly perpetuation of racism you can imagine. And just cruel to families to say, we're going to provide you jobs. I'm going to put you on this plane. I'm going to pay to put you on this plane. They have, the governors of Texas and Florida have spent millions of tax dollars for this fake thing, just to show off and try to expose racism in the north. Well, as a matter of fact, there is racism in the north and there's racism in the south. But we're all going to need to work on that and not just you know, try to inflame people and turn them against each other.
Joel, hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is my good friend and award-winning journalist, Joel McNally. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is award-winning journalist Joel McNally. You know, Joel, the border. Why is it that we can't get people to understand why millions of people will trek across the desert, Joel, with only things, clothes that they have on, risk their lives, their children's lives. Their nations are so turned upside down and inside out. And a lot of it has to do with our policies, in, you know, those areas, South America, and all of those things. You look at the root of why those people are leaving their nations, and you see our hidden hand there. And yet Americans don't want to read anything about what's happening, why these people are leaving their homelands, Joe. Why is it that the American people, it's easy to point the finger at these people, but there was once a point in time when their ancestors left the areas where they were.
That's absolutely the
same reason, Joe.
The very same reason. And of course, the experience of African Americans is very different from that, since we were brought here,
right,
as property by the many of my ancestors who did originally come here under exactly the same conditions. They were fleeing poverty. They were fleeing for opportunity. And actually, it's kind of amazing to me still that is still the image of the United States of America globally, that we are still seen as the land of opportunity for people who come here. And we used to be proud of that. We used to be so proud that we were that shining, a beacon of opportunity and democracy and employment and ability to make enough money to raise your family, to feed your family, and to have unlimited possibilities, or the idea that you can make yourself anything that you would work to create and make for yourselves. We were so proud of that as a nation, and now we want to slam the doors. Really, we don't want those opportunities to exist for anyone else in any other country, especially if they're of a different color. That is so ugly, and it is so vicious. They basically, to tell you the truth, these days. And you know, you get in a fight with people every day on this. But the Republican Party is no longer an American political party. It is sad that they are out to actually destroy the country that we created. We were the things that we used to be so proud of as being the hallmark of this nation, that you could become anything that you put your mind to. We always used to say that to children,
right?
But no one believed it for all children until Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and their beautiful family occupied the White House. then you could say, really, it was a possibility for everyone in this country. But look what happened immediately afterwards. It was the backlash. It was the hatred towards that beautiful family that I believe has destroyed the Republican Party as an American political party.
You know, Joe, there's only one life. And so when there are people who's... And that life is equal, whether it's from Venezuela, or whether it's from Cuba, or whether it's from Manila, or whether it's from Africa, or whether it's, you know, here in America. There's only one life.
We wrote that into our founding documents. The most beautiful line that has ever been written in English is, all men are created equal, endowed with their creator, with inalienable rights. And you know, no matter how you interpret how this humanity was created, that is the most beautiful line that has ever been written about the possibilities of democracy.
And so, Joe, so here we are. We've got these people who only have one life, and they want the best life they can get. Why do we treat them as if they're animals? And we know who's doing that, Joe. We know what party is doing that, and they're proud of it. You know what I mean? They're proud of it. I don't understand any of that.
There's no understanding about it because it's not logical. It's not logical. And you know what? You will still hear them say, and I've argued with them, and sometimes on the air with in your program. But they will say there is not a racist bone in their body.
No,
they will say that over and over. A friend I've known all my life, after Donald Trump's election. We had an. He sent me. He was so disappointed in something I'd written. He said, you know, you said this election is not over. That it couldn't be over. This isn't a normal election, and we can't stop fighting for the country that you and I have just described. That is described in the founding documents, where all people are supposed to be treated equal. I said, you know, this election can't be over. This was not an election that elected a man who believes in America. He doesn't. And he, in fact, he got elected on hatred and racism and anger at the government for, you know, taking measures to try to create people more equally in this country. He said, look, even Hillary Clinton said, the election is over and we should give the winner of the election a chance. Of course she said that. That is what every Republican and Democratic presidential candidate used to say in this country. The first one who didn't say that, of course, was the man that he was upset I wasn't supporting. Donald Trump is the only one who not only refused to accept his defeat, but he lied about it and continues to lie about it, and they support his lies about it to say, no, he couldn't possibly have been defeated by Joe Biden because we don't know anyone who voted for Joe Biden. And of course they don't, because they only talk to people exactly like themselves, so filled with the same hatred and ugly hatred and racism as Donald Trump himself. And you know, that is not the future of democracy. And I am very glad that President Biden has called out MAGA Republicans for exactly what they are. They are not an American political party.
So, Joe, I have to ask you at this point, because there are conversations that we must understand why MAGA people act the way they do. We somehow, you and I, must understand why they feel the way they do, why they feel, listen to it, Joe, why they feel that the election was stolen. Not that they know. But they feel that the election was stolen, and somehow we are supposed to capitulate to how they feel.
And we're not ever supposed to suggest that there's any racism and anger and hatred behind it. And I don't see anything else behind it, to tell you the truth. There are people who, many of them, have never liked politics. They hate politics. They didn't used to vote. What Donald Trump recognized was that there were people so turned off by politics that they didn't come out to vote because they were so upset that they were no longer, these are white Americans who used to always, if they didn't have anything else, they could say, well, at least I'm better than black people, brown people, people at the bottom, poor people, the poorest among us. I'm better than
Joe. Joe, I love you because you will tell the truth. That is what's at the root of it.
It really is. It really is. And Donald Trump didn't invent racism in the Republican Party. I always point the history back to Richard Nixon after Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson was an amazing figure. Lyndon Johnson was a Southern politician who, throughout his career, had opposed civil rights and opposed voting rights
from Texas
for African Americans. He was the Texas senator, but he rose to power in the Senate. And actually, it was as the Senate leader, he was the first even slight bending of the Southern politicians. Who had always boycotted and filibustered and prevented passage of any civil rights law in this country.
And Joe, I never understood.
Those were Southern Democrats.
I know, but I never understood how John F. Kennedy made him the VP.
Well, that is interesting because, as you well know, John F. Kennedy they had to win the South. And when, as vice president under John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson was treated as a Southern fool. They had put him on the ticket because the South in those days, as you remember, was called the Solid South.
Yes.
It was solid Democratic. They were solid Democratic, opposed to civil rights Democrats, okay? And you had to win them in order to defeat Richard Nixon. And it was just these smart aleck, I'm not supposed to say that.
No, that's okay.
Harvard-educated, smug liberals who supported John Kennedy, who swallowed their hatred of politicians exactly like Lyndon Johnson to put him as their vice president. And then once he was their vice president, they totally ignored him and totally made fun of him. They called him Little Abner, like a Southern fool.
Right.
And they treated him actually pretty despicably. But the amazing thing was, when he suddenly succeeded in the presidency, he realized that passing civil rights would make history, and he wanted to be involved.
A 360-degree turn after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was amazing because I don't think anybody could have ever predicted that.
And they certainly wouldn't have predicted Lyndon Johnson standing before Congress and saying, "We shall overcome."
Oh, I mean, it was, those times, Joel, send chills through my body, because as a young boy, I remember all those things. And then we get to where we are now. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, award-winning journalist Joel McNally. You know, Joel, we were talking about immigration, but we've got to move because there's so many other things going on to talk about. And what are your thoughts, Joel, with what's happening in Ukraine? And we've got the president of Russia talking about using nuclear weapons. And I don't understand. You know, there was a time, Joel, whenever the thought about or the mention of nuclear weapons would be the number one story anywhere. But now that can be talked about, and it's not the number one subject that we're dealing with. Well, you know, it's the fact that Donald Trump says that the FBI didn't pull their shoes off when they went in his bedroom. I mean, Joe, where are we, man?
I am pulled back and forth in a lot of ways. I think that the media is right to actually not make a big deal about everything Donald Trump says these days. But at the same time, I think America has to realize that man is seriously a deranged individual.
Yes.
Now he's conducting rallies in this country, which are looking more and more like Nazi rallies.
He was just in Ohio.
In Ohio, he had the audience lifting their arms with one finger over and over, much like raising a Nazi salute to him, while there was a song playing in the background that you and I wouldn't recognize as anything, but that crowd recognized as the theme song of QAnon, the song that this crazed movement in which people believe that Democrats are a cabal of satanic pedophiles who are killing children, probably in the basement of that Washington pizza parlor, that some guy showed up with a gun ready to kill all of those satanic pedophiles in the basement. He has worn the Q button in public appearances. Now they're playing the QAnon song. He has posted videos from the QAnon madness people who really do claim that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have killed children and drank their blood. We're not talking about a sane movement. We are talking about crazed people and people who are now, you know, taking there are murders. There are people murdering their families it happened shortly after one of those rallies that Trump participated in. And that sounds like I'm crazy now, but as a matter of fact, it did happen. And family members of that person who was experienced the mental illness that made him do that talked about how QAnon had taken over this individual, that he had bought into the whole right wing, and since the 2020 election, when QAnon supported Donald Trump down the line, that millions of votes were switched nationwide from Trump to Biden by, you know, the voting machines and you know, phones coming out of China, or what was it? It was thermostats. There was some kind of Chinese thermostats that were switching votes, millions of votes in America, from Biden to Trump. We're talking about just babbling nonsense, and Trump is all part of that. And this movement is all part of that. And now he's playing their theme songs at its rallies. It is the closest thing to watching the Hitler movement. It really is.
Joe, hang on. Let's go to Bill quickly. Hey, Bill, you say what, sir?
Telling what the other caller was talking about. If you know the history, and we all do, of the Republican Party, when Newt Gingrich said they are no longer friends, we're going to war, that was the beginning. And then it evolved all the way down to Donald Trump. If anybody's been watching on PBS, the Holocaust, the reason Hitler came to rise, the conservatives in Germany realized they couldn't beat the Labor Party. Impossible. Too many laborers, too many people. That's why Hitler rose to power. And his way of doing things mirrors Trump. If you, in the beginning, we're in 1938 in Germany, and this guy is a full-fledged loon. He's nuts. He's crazy. But what we have to do is realize what we're dealing with. Don't grant this guy anything other than how you would talk to an insane person, because he is. And it's not just him. He draws these people, the Jordans, the Matt Gaetz. I can go on and on, DeSantis, Abbott. They're all of the same ilk. They all have that same glitch in their DNA with this craziness. And they know, Republicans know, as a whole, they're impossible to beat the Democrats, because the Democrats represent the majority of people. Why do they represent the majority of the people? Because the majority of Democrats are working people, not white-collar people. That's what they fear. They can't cope with that, so they have to lie, cheat, steal, murder, attack the Capitol. But once the country realizes what we're up against, once they totally understand we're dealing with a madman, you can't talk to him, you can't expect anything to come out of his mouth of sanity, just like Ron Johnson. That's how we deal with them. Thanks, Earl. Have a good day.
Hey, Bill, thank you as always. Joe, hang on. I want you to respond on the other side. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is award-winning journalist Joe McNally. We'll be right back.